fighting the socialists in Washington, exposing the nonsense in Congress, restoring common sense to government. It's Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. We the people must make a stand. So let your voice be heard and call Pete now at 343-0106.
All right. Welcome to Common Sense Radio. It is Thursday night. It's 8 p.m. and you're right where you should be, in front of your radio, that clock radio by your bed while you're resting, trying to avoid the pandemic. Or maybe you're streaming on FMTalk1065.com or on TuneIn Radio as you're out and about in town on your phone. You've got Common Sense Radio to sift through the propaganda, the fake news, and all the other nonsense that's out there. And tune in to FM Talk 106.5, where we turn up your voice. And every week you are not as stunned, actually, as I am that we are on the air again. But every week I know the listeners are stunned out there. My goodness, they're still on the air, and they come back, and they're crisp and clear, and they're across the fruited plain. I mean, people don't realize it, but we have listeners in multiple states, not just Alabama, Florida, Mississippi. There's people listening in Louisiana and Texas and North Carolina, other places. It's amazing, the reach. And why do we have that reach? We have that reach because we have the long arm of our engineer. Our engineer has the longest arms that you can imagine. He can push these electrons across the nation from sea to shining sea, and he is fearless in it. He is our award-winning engineer, co-host, executive producer, all-around nice guy, Mark Holliday.
Thank you, Pete. I appreciate that. You're not calling me an orangutan or
anything. That visual popped in my head, but I was trying not to go there. And this was one of those nights I had absolutely no clue what I was going to say until it started coming out.
I thought that was every Thursday night. You have no
Pretty
clue.
Much every Thursday night. But we started the show and go, what am I going to say about Mark? And it just came out.
You just know because he's so great.
It just came out. Oh, and fortunately for you, the listener, we have the director of quality assurance is back from assignment. She is in the studio. She's the executive producer, the head of the research department. She's the only thing that brings any value to this program. And she's back. Adult supervision has been restored. Gold Star wife, Teresa Taylor.
I'm COVID-free.
She's here. She's happy to be here. Mm-hmm. Which all that's still going on. And I had it down here, but since you brought it up,
well,
I mean, we've been masked in Mobile for a month and a half, and people have been pretty well masked. Once they did the ordinance, I mean, you go to the stores, you go into retail shops, people come in with their masks. Now, they might take them off as soon as they get out of the fast food
restaurant.
It's
definitely like a 95% in any public.
It's a 95%.
Yeah.
And there's still restaurants are, and retailers are still at reduced capacity and all that. But I guess the numbers are starting to go down a little bit, but in general, the numbers seem to be the same.
Yeah, the same.
Well, yes. As
4 months ago, 5 months ago.
Last week, I was absent because I was doing a little vacationing. Is in the state of Georgia.
Georgia?
Yes, and I drove all the way through from the bottom to the top, made a few stops along the way. And? It was noticeably different, the masking. I would say very much more like a 50%. Maybe only 40% of people. It would typically be like the restaurant employees, chain store employees, but the general population, nope.
No masks.
No.
So
it was noticeably different. So apparently the governors make a big difference.
No, I guess, and it just doesn't seem to make any sense.
No.
And then, since we're on this, I was going to take something else first, but since we're on this, I mean, it doesn't seem that's changing anything, making any difference. But you have to wonder about the counts because they just posted today in North Carolina.
I saw that 200,000 off.
They were off by 200,000.
Yeah, it's a big.
They had
that's
an
a
error of 200,000 on the cases. How do you get a 200,000 error? And look, Mobile is not immune to that either. They've had problems with the Mobile County Health Department. Their numbers
it's
been all
over
the place.
Yeah, it's just
that is the big concern, I guess, with all of this is, and it continues to feed into the lack of trust that we have in these groups and organizations and the leadership is that we can't believe what they say because Exactly. First of all, they may be lying to us.
Right.
Second of all, they may not have any reliable data.
They might be
to
just saying it to say we're doing something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think part of it is we got to do something.
Who knows? Yeah. I mean, that's the problem. We don't know.
No. Well, Glenn Beck said today we're 150 days into our 15-day flattening curve.
Yes.
So, I mean, again, it's just the timeline makes a difference on the believability factor. As it goes on, we still keep, you know, it's hard to feel you're getting good information.
Dave from Gulf Shores said only 10% masked in Gulf Shores, and it's packed down there.
Mm-hmm.
So, but now, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to say it ain't real because I know just over the last couple of weeks, golly, I bet I can name 10 people that I know that have gotten it over the last, you know, which a shout out to Tom Claxton.
Yeah.
You know, he's got it pretty bad, and, you know, he does what's that show on Wednesday night?
Scuttlebutt.
Scuttlebutt. I couldn't think of it. Scuttlebutt. So we're praying for Tom Claxton. So we know people that have gotten it and getting it. It's out there, but I guess I'm coming to the conclusion that it just needs to run its course.
It does.
It seems that it doesn't matter what we're going to do. It's going to run its course, and it'll be something in the history books, hopefully sooner rather than later.
And we won't beat a dead horse, but I would like to say, all along, I have thought about psychological effects toward children, by which we've heard hardly nothing about.
Right.
Now there are a few written pieces coming out and whatnot, but, you know, the school started back this week, many of the privates. And it's just, you got, remember how scary,
Baldwin County started.
I mean, I can remember kindergarten,
first
day going to school, and how weird and scary now is it that, you know, all you can see is like little eyes. There's just something, you know, my kids, they had a good first day, but they said, Mom, it just didn't feel right.
Because everybody's running
just
around with it.
And I said, well, it's just not.
Yeah.
Just, you know, but everyone's doing the best they can. And I'm glad we're trying to get back, but it's weird.
The other thing that makes you just doubt everything, too, is still this incredible furor over hydroxychloroquine.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, just this week, a New York City councilman credits hydroxychloroquine for curing him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and we've seen it. There's all these doctors, all these testimonials. Why is this political debate?
Well, and that's it. Because you know, Trump came out and you know, promoted it early on.
Yeah.
And so, well, that can't be true.
No, well, and I mean, the media,
you know, the other side of the aisle says, "Well, that can't be true."
But even the CDC, his own CDC, is against him because I have a friend who had it and asked for it. Six doctors refused her. Six doctors said no.
Yeah.
And one finally said, "Look, if you get to where we got to put you in a hospital, I'll think about giving it to you."
Yeah.
What? Like, are they getting in trouble for prescribing?
No, they are. They said, look, it's a big deal. The CDC's put out guidance that it you know, the heart issue, which is actually, if you don't have heart issues, it's, you know, and also you're not going to be on it for a long time. You just want to take it for a few days. And, you know, if you're looking to die. But anyway, no, the feedback from the doctors, look, if you prescribe it, they're looking at you really, really, really closely. You're going to get investigated for prescribing.
Yeah.
Is that crazy?
Yeah.
That's insane.
It is.
And once again, you know, it's government intrusion into the relationship between a doctor and, and his patient.
Yep.
You know, the government shouldn't be anywhere near that.
Right.
And but of course, that's a part of the problem we have, you know, and has been growing for a long time and then culminated with Obamacare.
Right.
And likewise, it's infiltrated the academia of medicine.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, peer-reviewed journals aren't really
peer reviews.
Correct, because now it's revealed a lot.
It's one of those situations where, you know, we heard early on about hydroxychloroquine and the Z-Pack. Remdesivir is another treatment. There's another one I heard about, and I'm not sure exactly what it is. But I don't see where any one of these treatments should be, you know, completely disregarded because the politics aren't behind it.
Right.
And that's exactly what this is. The politics aren't behind it. So we can't use this as a treatment in this, you know, in this disease.
Now, is that correct? Because
insanity.
It is insanity because Mark and I are old men. And if we get it and we say, look, we'll take the risk. Give me the darn thing. Why is that not my choice?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I know the risk. You said it could affect my heart. Well, I don't have heart problems. Give me that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's been a preventative. A lot of people swore by that it's been a prevent. You know, my whole family got it, but I've been on this. I didn't get it.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, it seems like, why are we not at least
it's just
using
it shouldn't
it
be a political discussion.
It shouldn't be.
Yeah, exactly.
It should be whatever treatment you can get. And you, it's like, and you know, I think we said it last week, every drug you get, if you read all the possible side effects, you wouldn't take any of them.
You wouldn't take any of them.
You'd say, no, okay, I'll just die.
Yeah, exactly. One of our Dave from Gulf Shores texted in that the FDA denies Henry Ford health request to use hydrochloroquine for the patient.
Which is absurd why they are doing that. Just remember, though, all this logic, a Nashville city councilwoman says she's trying to get it. She wants to push an ordinance that people who don't wear masks could be charged with murder.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Right? Could be. If you don't wear a mask, could be charged with. This is a Democrat.
Oh.
But remember, this is Democrat logic. If you don't wear a mask, you can be charged with murder. But you can abort babies.
If you're wearing a mask.
That's not murder.
Yeah. Jeez.
That's amazing that they can think that. A mask is murder, but aborting a baby. No, that's not murder.
That's okay.
Crazy stuff. But look, I know everybody thought we were going to talk about Kamala, and we will. I was going to lead off with that, but we somehow got into the pandemic.
I guess so.
So check that one off. When we come back, we will be talking about the new VP pick for Joe Biden, old Sleepy Joe, Kamala Harris. Take your calls and text at 251-343-0106.
Welcome back to Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. To talk to Pete, call now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome back to Common Sense Radio. Okay, the big story of the week is finally somebody told Sleepy Joe who his vice president was going to be.
Yes.
So, and the good news is Sleepy Joe remembered her. Remembered her from the debate.
She apparently doesn't remember him because her description of him is completely 180
completely
from
she basically,
the primary campaign.
She basically, during the primary, said he was a racist. Although she tried to excuse him, but then said, but you stood around with all those KKK guys, and that was really hurtful, and you fought busing and desegregation, and that was, I mean, she body slammed him. They've been replaying that one.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's another one where she said, I believe your accuser.
Right.
Okay, so wait a minute. So Kamala, you believe that he's a sexual predator and potentially a racist. But now that he's asked you to be on the vice president's time.
He's a great guy.
That's okay.
I'm
he's
honored.
A good guy. I'm honored.
I'm honored.
I love that guy. I mean, and this gets into the dirt, and this doesn't really affect the campaign. It's just funny. You remember she had an affair with Willie Brown, the mayor of San Francisco. She was like 25, and he was 60, and they had an affair.
Right.
Willie Brown wrote Biden and said, don't pick her. Don't do it. Don't pick her. So, I mean, what does that tell you? Well, so let me ask you, what do y'all think about the, because I have some real ideas about that. What do you think about the Kamala pick?
Well, you know, it's purely, and I don't want to, I'm not sure exactly how to present this. I think it's a real gift to the Republican Party. I think it's a real gift to Trump. I can't think of a more polarizing candidate. Let's be honest. You know, Biden has been bought into the Bernie Sanders socialism. Kamala Harris is even far lefter of
but
that.
But the Bernie bros don't like her.
Yeah,
well, the Bernie bros don't like
Well, remember how she performed so poorly she had to step off the stage. She was one of the first ones, wasn't she?
She only got like 2%. It's like, so she gets 2%. What is she bringing to the ticket?
Well, that's it. I mean, usually when you think of a presidential candidate searching around for a VP candidate, that they're looking for something that will bring something to the campaign that they can't
they don't
deliver.
Have. The electoral map comes into play.
Yeah, exactly.
John F. Kennedy picked Lyndon Johnson to try to bring the South in.
Yeah, absolutely.
Trump picked Pence because he knew he was a brash New Yorker and he needed a Midwest guy with traditional values.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, they pick somebody to...
Well, you always think they're
Reagan's
trying
going
to
back
like...
to Reagan. Reagan picked Bush because he was the establishment Republican
to
guy.
To bring the establishment back in because they hated Reagan like they hated Trump.
It is a little weird that sometimes you think, because he doesn't need help with the black vote. I mean, he might now.
He's been working on it.
But at the time, I mean, if you go back, I guess all that's old news now, but he didn't have a problem with that in the past. So
right.
You're right.
He didn't have a problem in the past until he told him you ain't black unless you
vote
for me.
That's true. So I mean, it almost was laughable because we knew it would be a female that wasn't white. I mean, almost so predictable. It's funny, it's scary too because she's very vicious.
But I actually I think Kamala drew the short straw, but she doesn't know it yet.
You may be right.
Because I know.
And I would bet dollars to donuts that it was presented to her that, look, you know, we all know Joe is you know, on his last legs. He's probably not going to make it a year or two. You know, we'll have to declare him incompetent and invoke the 25th at some point.
And you're going to be president.
You'll end up being president. Mm-hmm. So with that in mind... Can you put all of this other stuff behind you? Can you come into the fold? Because we really want you to be the president.
Don't you think you're giving her too much credit for integrity?
I'm not saying her.
Go with your theory,
Pete. I'm saying the Pelosi's, power brokers in the Democratic Party are the ones that said, look, you know, this is what we need you to do.
Right. And here's where my theory goes on why they want her to do it. Because you're going to lose. You're the designated loser.
Back in the back of the, you know, in the back rooms, it's like, you know, if she wins, if they win, this is the plan. And this is what we'll present to her. But, you know, they're probably going to lose. So.
Well, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Because what you said, if they really thought they're going to win, do you think all the Democrat power brokers looking around going, who do we put in here? Because they're going to very likely be the president. And they came up with Kamala?
Yeah.
That's who they came up with?
You just never know that.
See, that's why I was worried about Susan Rice.
Yeah.
Not because she didn't bring in the ticket. She's polarizing. She's terrible. I mean, she'd be terrible as a VP. She did bring nothing to the ticket, but she does bring one thing. She is an absolute loyalist to the Obamas.
Oh, yeah.
And if they'd have picked her, I would have thought, they think they have a chance, and they want her to be president, and that would be Obama's proxy.
But I think they couldn't get around Benghazi with her. They just knew they could not. I mean, with the media on their side, there's just too
Benghazi
much.
Benghazi would have been
the campaign ads right themselves.
But, I really think they don't really think they're going to win with her, and that's why. I mean, and look, this is kind of like with McCain. Yeah. McCain was an awful candidate.
Yeah.
So they go get Sarah Palin. To try to
put some energy in and help bring the people, she did do
all that, but they also did it because
he's going to lose anyway.
When he loses anyway, we don't mind flushing old Sarah down the toilet,
right?
And Kamala,
there's no future there anyway.
You don't have a future anyway, Kamala.
You're never going to have, you know.
Enjoy the next 85 days.
Former mayor of Alaska, you know, come in and run the country. That's not
going to
happen.
And she's got, like, more likability than, let's say, Elizabeth Warren.
Well, I think...
I mean, like, she just looks better than her. I mean,
anybody
like,
has
not,
more...
Yeah.
I have more likability than Elizabeth Warren. Anybody has more likability.
The only danger I see is they could definitely, like, I guess for lack of a better word, like, give her... some Oprah status and Michelle Obama status. Like, if they groom her carefully, and then the media is going to... I still feel it could be dangerous.
Right.
I don't think it's a slam dunk for Trump.
No,
I don't think it is.
There's more to it than that.
Yeah.
Well, that goes back to the other thing. If they really thought they were going to win, don't you think they would have really got Michelle Obama in there? Well, if they really thought they were going to win.
And I was
always
concerned at that moment.
I actually sighed a little relief when it wasn't her.
Right.
But at the same time, I'm thinking she could just be the avatar. I don't know. I'm a little nervous still,
I'm thinking they went to Michelle and she said, Are you idiots? I'm not going through all that to lose. Oh, no, you're not putting that on me.
My political career would be over before it started.
Michelle is way too smart to take this. And then the interesting thing, you know, they talk about, remember all the Russians want Trump, Guess who came out and practically endorsed Kamala?
Who?
China.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
China said that she's really good. They like her.
Okay. Well,
the Chinese made a press release and said, we like her. She's really good.
So now here's the conspiracy that's going to go forward when they lose. And this comes out, it's like Trump called the premier of China to get him to endorse Kamala.
Oh, yeah, that's a great conspiracy.
Yeah. Here's a conspiracy.
We called it early. Mark was on it early.
But look, I think here's where she also is going to create problems. She's very much for gun confiscation.
Absolutely.
Her and Biden. And believe it or not, I know listeners out there, you're not going to believe me, but I actually know some. There are actually Democrats who cherish the Second Amendment.
Mm-hmm. I do too.
Which is totally inexplicable when you talk to them why they are Democrats, but they're diehard with the Second Amendment. She's going to make it very difficult for a lot of Democrats who love the Second Amendment to go, oh my God, we're going to put Biden and Kamala in there who want to take our guns. The other thing I think she messes up is in the Rust Belt states, the Democrats there are not primarily, but a large portion of Democrats in Rust Belt states are what?
Christians.
Catholics. They are Catholics. Yeah. Catholics are big in Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan. Those places, Catholics are big. And she is pro-choice, bigger than Dallas.
Oh, yeah.
And don't forget, when she was Attorney General, remember when those undercover guys went into Planned Parenthood and literally
got all that
filmed
footage. Yes.
That they were...
Veritas.
Yeah.
Project Veritas got in there and filmed that they were actually harvesting organs and tissue to sell from aborted babies. And what was her response?
She prosecuted
the people who videotaped it.
I didn't know that was her. I remember that happened.
She didn't touch Planned Parenthood, who was breaking the law, butchering babies and selling their parts.
Right.
She went after the...
Attorney General California.
So how's that going to play with Catholics in those states? I think she actually creates a lot of problems for the thing. So, but anyway, and then I wanted to get it. Bert from Theodore... Bert, I think you must have stayed up all night to come up with this. He texted in, if Clueless Joe refuses to bait, he's asking us to buy a pig and a poke. And the more he pokes his head out of the poke, the more of a pig he proves himself to be. Bert from Theodore, I just had to get that in because it was so good. All right, we'll be right back with your calls and texts at 251-343-0106.
Welcome back to Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. To talk to Pete, call now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome back to Common Sense Radio. In the bottom of the hour, we're bringing aboard ABC signs and ABC shirts as a special sponsor for wit and wisdom from our 40th president. But ABC signs and shirts, that is your headquarters for dry fit custom-made shirts, custom-made banners, custom-made signs, promotional materials, and they have a Trump store. So if you want a MAGA hat or a Keep America Great hat or Trump flags, you name it, they got it all. They're down there on LaRue Steiner Road right off of Highway 90 in downtown Tillman's Corner. But signs, shirts, you name it, you can get it. Go to abcsigns.biz, and abcshirts.biz. And here they bring you wit and wisdom from our 40th president.
Since the beginning of the core at the Tun Tavern in Philadelphia, on November 10th, 1775, the term Marine has been associated with courage, military efficiency, and soldierly virtue. You have established a reputation of being the first to fight, and you did it in the old-fashioned way. You earned it. For 207 years, you've been there whenever and wherever our country needed you. From the rigging of ships during the American Revolution to the brutal island battlefields in the Pacific in the Second World War, to the swamps and the rice paddies of Vietnam, you have never failed your country.
And that is President Reagan from the 10th of November, 1982, remarks at the White House ceremony celebrating the 207th birthday of the United States Marine Corps. And I picked that one to go with the column this week, Where Are the Men in Portland? And I was looking for something about him, Reagan, talking about manliness. Mm-hmm. And that was, you know, trying to find that. And the point about the Marines, they are the epitome of manliness. And the thing that, and the other point of that is Semper Fidelis. They're always faithful. Mm-hmm. They're always there. You can depend on the Marines to show up when something needs to be done. They will be there no matter how hard, how dangerous. They're going to be there and they're going to do it. They will stand tall. And that's really what the American man is supposed to do.
Right.
To protect this country. It's supposed to be good men who will stand up and face down evil. They won't just stand by and just watch it and everything. And I picked that because this week's column are Where Are the Men in Portland, which you get at BamaNewsNow.com. It's up there. Or you get it in the Call News or Washington County or Tri-City Ledger, others. Anyway, BamaNewsNow.com. Where Are the Men in Portland? Did y'all see the video about a week ago? The rioters who've been rioting every night now since May 25th, 70-something days, every night they riot, they went to attack the East Police Precinct in Portland. Mm-hmm. It was boarded up, and the police were hunkered down inside. And they went to attack it and try to set it on fire. Do you know who came to their aid? Did you see the video?
No.
Did you see the video?
I didn't.
Two old women.
Whoa. Oh, my God. Really?
Two old women, one in a walker, came and positioned themselves in front of the boarded up police precinct and tried to and said, you all need to stop this nonsense and leave these police alone. And what do you think happened?
Did they leave?
No, they assaulted these women.
Oh,
they
maybe I did see that, but I didn't piece it all together.
They threw paint on the women. They literally splattered paint. Some of these young guys really got up in these old ladies' faces and yelling at them and splattered paint. They basically assaulted these women, although they didn't actually get physical, which would have been really bad video. But, I mean, they're throwing paint in there. These women are covered in paint, and they're standing there. These old ladies are scolding these guys, and they're just up in their grill. And these old ladies held their ground. And I'm watching this going, where are the men? Why are there not men in Portland who saw this and ran down there and whooped their butts? That's what should be happening around the country. And that's what the whole column is about, is the men need to stand up and stop this nonsense, especially because like in Portland, the other thing they did.
Where are they?
The other thing they did this last week, they left downtown. And they started going into the suburbs in the middle of the night, and they were with bullhorns and all sorts of noisemakers trying to wake people. And they were going to buy the houses and saying, you need to get up, and you need to come out and support Black Lives Matter. And they talked to one of the protesters, and they said, yeah, these people support capitalism. They're in there trying to get a good night's sleep, so they go to work in the morning.
How awful.
How awful.
How awful that is.
We are going to roust you out. I mean, this is so absurd. But now the other side of that, Americans are starting to have enough. Did you see the video in Fort Collins?
Tell me about it.
Fort Collins, Colorado, last week had a We Back the Blue. It was a suburb, a little subdivision. Mm-hmm. Fort Collins had a little precinct there. And they had on Saturday a Back the Blue rally, the neighborhood did, to show the police, we support you.
Right.
Just the neighbors, right? Average folks. Guess who showed up?
The rioters?
A couple of dozen, BLM and Antifa showed up. BLM, Antifa, whatever. They're anarchists. They're malcontents, whatever they are. I don't know what they all blunt. But they showed up in their little black shirts and black hoods
but
and all that
But this is like
stuff.
A regular neighborhood.
This is a regular neighborhood.
Like nice
you know
houses,
what happened?
Like just,
they,
yeah.
The neighbors said, you get out of here. And they literally, they got in their face and they literally marched them out of their neighborhood. And right as they got to the edge of the neighborhood, one of the neighbors was actually an old veteran in a wheelchair. And it's hard to tell in the video, but for some reason, he must have said something. And one of the Antifa guys actually went over and took it, tried to hit him and knocked him out of his wheelchair.
Uh-oh.
It was on.
Oh, man.
And the neighbors, most of the Antifa ran, but about three of them got their butts whipped. And got held down in a ditch till the police showed up and arrested him.
Wow.
Folks, now there's men in Colorado. There's not men in Oregon.
There you go.
So there you go. But that's the column. But it's time for men to stand up and say, we're not putting up with this nonsense. All right, let's go to Kevin in Mobile.
Couldn't say it better, brother, right there. The masculinity of the man over the last years, it's terrible right there. Men do need to stand up there. And I tell you what. This is the crossroads right there between us and the devil, good and evil. If we're going to put President Trump back in, these two clowns that the Democrats, or so-called Democrat Party, put up, you put up their top cop, as they said they're saying on CNBC, as the VP. Let me tell you what, that woman is a travesty right there. They go together. You got Tweedledee and Tweedledumma right there. All of my friends that are in the military and all of my friends that are in police force, state troopers, They are just laughing right now. They said, let me tell you what, there's going to be more Democrats out there that are going to be pulling the Republican ticket than you've ever seen in your life. That person is a travesty. To say that she was going to be their top cop, and what she did, like you were talking about, on the abortion issue, trying to take those people down for what they were standing up for, was standing up for unborn people's rights.
Right.
People have got to continue to get out there and make the vote rock this time. We've got to have the silent majority stand up and say, you're right. We've had enough of this. We're not going to have this rioting. We're going to take our country back. And we're going to take it back by every vote that counts right there. One time, one vote.
Yep.
And let me tell you what, everybody out there needs to listen, get on their knees and pray. This country's at a crossroads. And we have got to take our country back right here. We've got to back our military. We need to back our police, our first responders. And like I said, you cannot emphasize the vote this time for 2020 is the most critical election we're ever going to have. And you got to understand there's going to be backlash. When Trump wins, the next day there's going to be a backlash.
Oh, they're going to burn more stuff down.
Everybody needs to be prepared.
Yep,
be prepared. Stand your ground.
They keep trying to say we're the ones that are going to rebel. It's going to be them. They're telling us exactly what they're going to do. Because the conservatives are going to be upset and they're going to do bad things. They're telling us that when Trump wins, they're hitting the streets. And you think the riots we've seen now are anything? Wait till you see what comes after that. Kevin, are you still there?
Yeah, I heard a crack. When I say boots are going to be on the ground, you're going to have the conservative Judeo-Christian out there waving the American flag and taking our country back. And that's what's going to happen. And let me tell you what, we're going to go back like when Ronald Reagan, we're going to be that shining pinnacle out there. We are going to bring our country back right there. And people like China and Russia, they're going to be looking at us in a different light again right there, because all of a sudden they're going to say, hey, we're not walking over these guys like we did for the past presidents right here.
Right. No, you're
Obama.
You're absolutely right.
We're not going to kowtow. We're going to bring our employees back and bring employment back to the United States. We're going to rebuild our military, and we're going to be that shining light again.
Nope.
Like I say, God's on our side.
Yep, we need to pray and do that. The silent majority is going to roar come November 3rd. Hey, Kevin, thank you for listening and calling in from Mobile. We'll be right back with calls and texts at 251-343-0106.
Welcome back to Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. To talk to Pete, call now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome back to Common Sense Radio. And look, before we go back to the phones and get off all the protesters, I want to bring up, how heinous these people are. We talk about what they're doing in Portland, but it's not just in Portland. In Wisconsin, in a suburb of Milwaukee, rioters went to a policeman's home. 50 or 60 people went to a policeman's home and attacked him and his girlfriend, a policeman.
Mm-hmm.
You know what the crazy thing is?
At the house,
the policeman was black. And the rioters attacked a black policeman at his home. Not on duty, at his home. He was unarmed at home, and they were injured. How about this in Chicago? Do you know what the rioters attacked and vandalized?
McDonald's. Ronald McDonald House.
The Ronald McDonald House.
Oh, yeah, Ronald McDonald House.
The family's there for their kids that are gravely ill.
They don't even know what that is. Or do they just really not care?
No, they just really don't care.
I don't think they
care. Exactly what it is.
That's so evil. That's evil.
They're sociopaths. Now, all this narrative and
everything. Lacking empathy, yes.
Now, this is not a riot incident, but this is about race incident. And this is a horrible, horrific, it's even hard to me talk about because it really upsets me and will upset you. But it was in North Carolina this last week. A five-year-old boy rides his tricycle over onto the neighbor's lawn. And the owner of that lawn comes out and puts a gun to his head and executes the five-year-old boy in his yard in front of his 7 and 8-year-old sister. Now, you haven't heard about this. It's horrific.
Oh.
And you know why you haven't heard about it? You know what the race of the boy was?
White.
You know what the race of the man who shot him was?
Black.
Mm-hmm. Black.
And it happened Sunday night. It just now is getting some traction from social media.
From social media, it's so horrific. Now, here's the reason I'm pointing it out. It doesn't really matter what their races were. This is horrific beyond anything. So the race of either one of them does not matter. Nobody does this. But the reason it's buried
is because
it doesn't fit the narrative.
Right.
Now, can you imagine if it was flipped? And it was a white man killed a little black boy?
It would be headline news.
Well,
we'd have burned down the other half of the nation since Sunday.
Well, similarly, last week while I was away, there was additional footage released that showed the entire...
Oh, yeah.
Floyd. But it, you know what? When you said it didn't fit the narrative. It didn't fit the narrative of the little clip all of America burned for, so it got buried. Mm-hmm. Likewise. The sin of omission on the media's part is equally, if not worse, than just a blatant lie.
And to make sure the listeners are up with us, Teresa's talking about the video, 30-something minutes of the other video of George Floyd being arrested and how he resisted arrest.
It was some body cam
footage.
It
was very belligerent, right?
Yeah, I mean, it just totally changed...
The perspective.
It's a new perspective of the story. It might not change...
And the Minnesota Attorney General refused to release that.
Yeah.
Right.
The whole country is burning over... And I'm not saying it's justified. They shouldn't have killed the guy.
Not at all.
It was still terrible. But it really... They let it be colored completely different by not allowing that.
And
it got leaked Daily Mail.
Yep.
Because they pay.
Yeah,
If you pay well, you can get a leak.
To know that a country's burning over...
And you withhold this?
Yes.
That could mitigate and say, look, folks, we need to all step back and take... These are the things that tell you it's all planned. All right, we got to go to James in Pensacola. I've been holding patiently. What do you got for us, James?
Yeah, it's sad about that story in North Carolina with a five-year-old.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Of course, you haven't... And, the media's bias, just like the only video the media shows you about George Floyd is where the police officer having him on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
There's a YouTube video that has the entire George Floyd police encounter.
Well, yeah, that's what I was just talking about. Yeah, way different than what it looks like just watching a few minutes. Correct.
And, they're blaming Governor Brian Kemp for Georgia having high COVID numbers. Well, it's because of Atlanta. In areas where you got a large metropolitan area that, large urban subculture, mm-hmm. you've got higher COVID numbers.
Yeah. No, it's...
And it seems like the numbers were going down until they started protesting.
Protesting well... is okay. Yeah. You can't go to church now, James. Don't you go to church and pray, but you can protest. You can break windows.
Right, and we're going to put you in jail for not wearing a mask. Oh, but we also want to defund the police.
Oh, right. Get this. We will put you in jail for not wearing a mask. But in Portland, the DA refuses to prosecute any of the rioters. And you go, so are you wondering why they're still rioting after 70 days? The DA is not prosecuting
right.
anybody.
Right.
It's actually an invitation
for
more crime.
Yep. All right, James, thank you for calling in listening from Pensacola. Let's get LD the Mad Trucker on.
Hey, the first giant lie was shot across the bow this morning. I heard a journalist tell the people, the great people in the United States, that Joe Biden was going to let Camelhead? I don't know her name.
Kamala.
Going to let her run the show up until election because he's going to be busy making policy. If you believe that, you will believe anything.
That's true.
That is too funny.
True.
And he's down the road.
And there he goes, LD the Mad Trucker. He hits us fast, and he's running down the road. Okay, I wanted to get, and then closing up, the Seattle police chief resigned.
Yes.
They cut her staff, her budget. They cut her pay.
Can you blame her?
They restricted what she can do. She said, I cannot protect the community. I can't do my job. I resign.
Yeah.
And I think you're going to see a lot more of that. We didn't even get into this, but there's a couple other news items that really will aggravate you. Senator Ron Johnson is trying to dig into how we got to the Russia hoax, and he's trying to subpoena to the Senate James Comey and John Brennan. And guess who's blocking the subpoena?
In the Senate?
In the Senate. For 500. Who's blocking?
Could it be Mitt Romney?
Oh, ding, 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 ding. That was a daily double.
What do I win?
Mitt Romney.
Oh, man.
A beverage.
Thanks.
Showing true colors.
They're trying to get
Chris Wallace of Fox News, showing true colors now.
Throwing the true colors. Ron Johnson's trying to subpoena these guys to bring them before the Senate committee to go, How did we put the country through all this? How did this all get started? Because there's a bombshell coming out by a guy by the name of Stephen Schrage, who is a PhD guy who was involved in setting up the whole spying ring, but he didn't know he was involved in it. There is his first article, and there's more to come, is a bombshell. You got to check it out. I think I posted it. If I didn't, I will post it. Are we out of time?
We're running up on it, yeah.
How can we be out of time?
I don't know.
All right, there's so many more things we need to talk about, but folks, you know that we will be here. We'll be checking it all out. Oh, and join me on Parler. Forget Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
Get on Parler.
Me too.
Honey,
I'm on there too.
It's time to come home.